It is now 1:20 p.m. on Thursday, March 11th. We are sitting in the State Capitol Room, the Gruenberg Room, number 120. Present, we have Representative Klayman, Representative Rauscher, Representative Tarr, Representative Nelson, Representative Story, Representative Shaw, and myself, Representative Chris Tuck. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. And I think we already silenced our phones from the previous meeting and make sure that we speak into the microphones and enunciate as we go through the committee today. Also want to thank Tom Raymond for moderating the meeting with us there in the back. And we also have House Records there remotely keeping track of our committee. Today on the agenda, we're going to be taking up confirmations. That's our first and only order of business, and we have with us today John Farr, Robin Barrett, and Scott Orovec. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And you should have resumes, had been already delivered to your office, and you should have those in your packet here today. So we're going to do all these appointees via teleconference or video conference, whichever one they prefer. And right now we'll begin with John Farr. Mr. Farr, would you like to make an opening statement?
Thank you, Chairman Tuck. Chairman Tuck, members of the committee, my name is John Farr, and I am honored to have been nominated for the Military Appeals Commission. This is my 43rd year in the full-time practice of law, and I still regard it as a great privilege to use my training and skills to help people who really need my help, sometimes desperately. My military career developed alongside my legal career. It started in 1971 when I joined ROTC as a freshman at Penn State, where I was awarded a two-year scholarship, was a distinguished military graduate, and commissioned a second lieutenant. In 1974, I completed airborne school and got my jump wings. After a three-year educational delay to attend law school at Georgetown University Law Center, I entered the Judge Advocate General Corps as a captain. In 4 years on active duty as a military lawyer, I was stationed in the disciplinary barracks, the military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, then 1 year in Korea, and then Fort Lewis, Washington. After active duty, I stayed in the reserves while in the private practice of law and completed 20 years in the reserves, earning a retirement. This duty helped me stay engaged in the military community and stay up to date on military law and procedures. To complete 20 years in the reserves, I had to do 2 weeks active duty every year, pass a physical fitness test and a weigh-in, earn 50 points per year, and satisfy educational requirements, including the advanced course and the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College. I retired as a lieutenant colonel after 20 years. While serving as a military lawyer, I served mostly as a trial counsel, i.e. military prosecutor, and in the trial defense service, i.e. military defense counsel, but also as an administrative law officer and a legal assistance officer, dispensing legal advice to soldiers of all ranks. I was awarded the Meritorious Service Medal and 3 Army Commendation Medals. The military means a lot to me and has been such a major factor in my life that I would be thrilled, and no lesser word will suffice, to be able to give back by serving on the Military Appeals Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Farr? Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colonel Farr, I'd like to just pass on as a retired Navy SEAL airborne to you.
Oh, holy cow. Wow. I'm totally impressed by that. Well, actually, I'm supposed to talk to the chair. Sorry.
You're doing great. Thank you.
Representative Shaw, through the chair, Representative Tuck, I am highly impressed by that.
Thank you. Representative Klayman.
John, thank you very much for taking this nomination by the governor. Please send my best to your lovely wife.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, thank you, Representative Klayman, whom I know from the private practice of law.
I think there might have to be an ethics disclaimer on that one. That's just teasing. Representative Rauscher.
Yes, John, I do want to thank you for your distinguished career service. I appreciate that, and I just commend it, and I just feel that you are qualified to be chosen for where you're at now. Thank you.
Through the chair.
And then Representative Tarr. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt, but if, let's see, through the chair, Representative Tuck, thank you, Representative Rauscher. I love the military in the sense that it has done a lot for me. So that's what I would say.
And then Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just reviewing this Military Appeals Commission, I guess, was just created about a year ago, and I just wondered, as it looks like one of the original members of this commission, if you could share a little bit about what's happened over the time since it was created. I guess not quite a year ago. It was more like last fall. But have there been meetings yet?
Representative Tarr, through the chairperson, Representative Tuck, there have not been meetings of the Military Appeals Commission. What I understand, it doesn't really get kicked off until we're vetted by the legislature and approved. That's what I understand.
And yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, and I was looking at the announcements from the governor's office, and so I just wondered if there was any more that you could expand upon in terms of the purpose, just to understand sort of some of your interest in that. Certainly impressive career, but what struck me, it says that serves as the final piece of the National Guard reform on sexual assault, harassment, and abuse. And so I guess I just wanted to hear sort of your thoughts on that role.
Representative Tarr, through Chairman Tuck, my understanding of how this came about is that there was that scandal, and it developed that the National Guard, the Alaska National Guard, actually has no military disciplinary methods. There's no structure in place for courts martial. And so to increase discipline and prevent these types of things from happening, there was developed a military structure that's the counterpart of what one would find in the active duty military to court-martial people, service members that are in the Guard. That is the exact procedures for that are still being developed, I believe. It shouldn't be too difficult because it has a well-developed counterpart on active duty. But the Military Appeals Commission, as I understand it, are the appeals judges. Mm-hmm. That when there's a court-martial and the accused appeals, then there's an appellate court. This is what I understand, Representative Tarr.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I was just reading sort of, the purpose of the commission, and I just didn't know, sort of based on this announcement from the governor's office and then your appointment, sort of what developments have happened in between those times or conversations. So I'll be very interested to see how this works going forward. Thank you.
As will I, Representative Tarr. Thank you.
And thank you. So I'm just going to try to sum up just a little bit from what I heard and what I understand. So we didn't have an updated military code of justice. I think it was back in the 1950s, the last time something was updated, or when it was first established. And then in 2016, we finally established the military code of justice, and I think it's split it up in two ways. We have stuff that's criminal activity that went in the statute, and then we have things that has to do with human resource or personnel matters that went into regulations. And then we have the split with active duty versus inactive members. And I think that there was why that makes a difference is if they were federally called out. If they're federally called out, then I think there was some sort of court-martial procedure. So one of the things that we try to do here in the legislature is making sure that we were aligned with the recommendations from the national on the federal on how to line up our military code of justice. And I think this is a result. I think we're still trying to get things set up, but I believe that this commission is a result of that legislation, and we're finally getting to an appeals type of situation. Am I understanding that correctly, Mr. Farr?
Chairman Tuck, that is what I understand.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Colonel Farr, first off, I just want to congratulate you as a fellow ROTC commissionee. You know, not to your same level as distinguished military graduate, but I certainly know the struggles of going through that program and coming out clean on the other side. Although I went chemical and you went JAG, but that's perfectly okay. I do want to kind of hear more about your experiences as a military prosecutor and how that would relate to your role, a part of the Military Appeals Commission.
Representative Nelson, through Representative Tuck, I was a prosecutor. I started out my career at the United States Disciplinary Barracks at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I did legal assistance there for the inmates. I was a part-time prosecutor. I prosecuted a few cases. I went to Korea, and I was a defense counsel in Korea, near in a camp near Panmunjom. It doesn't exist anymore, but in any event, and then when I came back, I did a year and a half at Fort Leavenworth, Fort Lewis, Washington, as a military prosecutor. And that was, actually, that was the bulk of my criminal trial experience, was as a prosecutor. Of course, there's unique aspects to military justice that don't have any counterpart in the civilian world, i.e., court-martialed for refusing an order to low crawl, for example, and there's just military offenses that are completely military, have no counterpart. Some things are the same, assault, theft, this kind of thing. They're the same as civilian. And actually, we ended up trying a lot of cases. We tried a lot of cases, and military trials have some unique aspects, but actually they're very similar to civilian trials in that you have a jury, felonies actually had a jury of nine. The defendant could ask, the accused could ask for an enlisted, one-third enlisted. There was a military judge, of course, and everything was the same. The rules of evidence were largely the same as what you find universally in federal and state court. And there's opening statements, presentation of evidence, and all those things. And the unique aspects really have to do with the expectations of military courtesy and the fact that, the military people just, the military is a different world in unto itself. I think as Representative Shaw, for example, could testify that it's a different world. It has its own language. It has its own expectations. And if you're a defense counsel, I used to see defense counsel show up because I hope I'm not belaboring this too much, and I hope I'm answering the question. But I would see defense counsel show up because the accused figured that, well, I'm assigned a defense counsel, but he's wearing the same uniform as the prosecutor. So, therefore, any civilian's better than any military counsel, which was a very faulty assumption because I would see defense counsel show up who didn't know anything about military justice, UCMJ, or anything, and they'd have shaggy hair, especially back in those days, really shaggy hair and were unkempt. And that's kind of what, you know, I talked to panel members later, and that's what they would focus on, was how unmilitary the person was, and to render insults, like one of them called a lieutenant a spring butt, and you just wouldn't, it's just unthinkable in military terms. But I did do a lot of prosecution, military-type prosecution. I think I would bring that to bear on what I'm expected to do. I hope that answers the question without belaboring it.
It does. Thank you so much, Colonel Farr, and just for the committee's knowledge, you know, Fort Leavenworth is definitely among the for at least in military terms, kind of the bad of the bad area for personnel that are housed in that area. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nelson, and thank you, Mr. Farr, for sharing that with us. At this time, I would like to go into public testimony for Colonel Farr. I'm going to open up public testimony. I do not see anybody online right now that would like to testify. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. Any further questions or comments regarding Colonel Farr? Representative Story.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Colonel, for your willingness to serve on the commission. My question has kind of a similar follow-up and comment to Rep. Tarr's, and I do see that the intent was to, with the commission, to help with the National Guard's reform on sexual assault and harassment and abuse. And I know that the commission, it's my understanding, would be looking at individual cases, but what do you see your role if you see a pattern of individual cases being in following up on that? What would be the commission's role?
Representative Story through Representative Tuck. I was sort of thinking I might get some questions along those lines, and the only thing I can say is that it does come down to individual cases. I would try to not enact, I would try to apply the law to the facts and not get caught up unduly in policy, because that's not really a judge's role. If I saw a pattern, to the extent that a judge can comment publicly on things, and you do see, for example, Supreme Court justices, even the U.S. Supreme Court commenting publicly on things, I would probably speak up. If I have the, I have to look at the judicial canons to see if that's actually anything I can do. If I saw a pattern that was disturbing, I'd probably speak up. I hope I would. That's how I would answer that question, Representative Story. I'm not a policymaker per se. I wouldn't be a policymaker. I would try to apply the law to the facts impartially, and I believe that's what the role of a judge is. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Story. I believe that's all the questions and comments that we have for you now. Colonel Farr, I want to thank you for your service, and I also want to thank you for your willingness to serve on this commission. Next we have Robin Barrett. Mrs. Barrett, would you like to make an opening statement? And can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead and proceed.
Well, I didn't prepare a letter for you, but basically I was contacted by Major General Tory Sachs, who's the Adjutant General, some time ago. He was my old boss at the 168th, and he asked if I'd be interested in serving on this committee, and I said that I would be willing to, and I was interested. All of my military service was as a judge advocate. I'm from Texas. I was born into a large, poor family. I was the first person to get a secondary degree in my family. I went to Lamar University, enrolled in the ROTC program. I was commissioned at the end of my university experience. And then I took an educational delay and went to law school at University of Houston. I paid for it myself. And then my first assignment and my only assignment with the Air Force was at Eielson Air Force Base. At the time, if you were single, you were only supposed to come up for a two-year assignment. And 35 or so years later, I'm still here in Fairbanks. I served for 4 years as assistant staff judge advocate in the Eielson legal office, and I did virtually everything there is to do in the legal office, but I was the person who did most of the courts and the boards that went on during the 4 years that I was there. After 4 years I got out, I married a local attorney and then went to work for him at his law firm. The law firm at the time was called Barrett and Burbank. This was my active duty stint was 86 to 90. 1986 to 1990, and then I spent approximately 3 years with in my husband's firm, mostly doing civil defense work. And then my husband retired, and we both sort of semi-retired, had children, built a house, et cetera, and after a few years, I decided to go back into the military, and I joined the 168th. Guard unit at Eielson, and I spent 16 years there. The most part, I was the only person in the legal office. I started as the deputy SJA, and then the SJA was made to leave due to an indiscretion he committed, and then I became the staff judge advocate, and I served there October 2003 until October 2019. And then I've retired. I retired as a lieutenant colonel. And I had no plans to engage with the military again until my old boss contacted me. And here I am, and I'm willing to serve if needed.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this. Is there anyone that have any questions for Lieutenant Colonel Barrett? Or any comments? Well, we really got all our questions answered with Mr. Farr, so don't take that in any way of us not being interested in you. We just...
Well, he is a lot more impressive, I have to say. I was impressed.
All right.
And I'm impressed that one of you is apparently a Navy SEAL. I'm so impressed. I can't convey how impressed I am with that.
Okay, with that, actually, we do have a question. Representative Story.
Yes, and thank you very much for your willingness to serve. I wanted to ask you the same question that I asked the Colonel just a little bit ago, and that has to do, and I don't know if you were listening online, but that had to do with the original, one of the original formations of this Military Appeals Commission as the final piece of the National Guard's reform on sexual assault, harassment, and abuse. And I know it's for individual cases, but if you saw a pattern of a pattern of harm, would you? How would you handle that?
I don't know how likely it is that the cases would come up to us. I believe that courts will be very rare. Because you, for the most part, you don't have full-time judge advocates, and it's so difficult to try and pull together a court when you're only working 2 days a month. But if I did see a pattern, I think I would reach out to the Adjutant General and want to have a discussion with him about the matter. I have to say it's the sexual abuse concern. I personally did not witness the military overlooking or brushing under the rug allegations of sexual abuse. My 4 years of active duty, even though it was a long time ago, 86 to 90, we took every allegation seriously. We never brushed anything under the rug. And the same was true when I was in the Air National Guard. We would, any allegation was very thoroughly investigated and vetted. And I personally did not see military commanders being uninterested in women's complaints regarding that. But I understand that my sole experience is Air Force and Air National Guard, and so it may be a different environment in the Army, although with so much focus being put on sexual assault and harassment, I would be surprised if there's still that kind of blasé attitude in any military service regarding sexual harassment and sexual assault. But if I did see something that concerned me, I would want to certainly reach out to the Adjutant General.
Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a question from Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And through the chair, Colonel Barrett, and you talked about this a little bit during Representative Story's question, but back in your time, when you're serving on active duty, to when you got back into it, what type of change did you see from the DOD responding to the JAG's office or to sexual assault specifically?
There's certainly a lot more emphasis. There was certainly a lot more emphasis by the DOD about the topic of sexual assault and harassment. And we weren't constantly trained on the topic as we were when I got into the Air National Guard. And in the Air National Guard, and I assume the entire military, every year there was lots and lots of ancillary training on the topic of sexual assault, sexual harassment, the right of people to be treated with respect, no matter what your rank was or position. I did see an improvement in the treatment of women. When I first got in, 86 to 90, some of the old guard military commanders, the older ones, they were, you could tell they really didn't appreciate having women in the service, unless you were in a certain, like you were okay if you were at the medical, you're sort of okay if you're a JAG, but if you tried to break into one of the other areas, the women really weren't treated very well. Although they didn't overlook sexual assault or anything like that, but I'd have to say the military has done a really good job of welcoming women and minorities, and in making the environment a lot better and respectful. So I did see a big difference in attitudes toward women and a more welcoming attitude, and the fact that they do have a place in the military, whereas it was a little questionable when I first got in.
Hello.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Colonel Barrett, for not only your work both in active duty but in the National Guard as well, and to also see another ROTC representative doing so well.
Thank you.
Representative Rauscher.
Thank you to the chair. Colonel Barrett, thank you very much for your service. I appreciate the you're willing to serve, you're willing to step up here, your career history, very impressive. I just have one little question. Maybe you can answer it for me. Is what is the Little Flowers Ministry?
It's basically I'm in a small group of people in Fairbanks who wanted to bring Catholic radio to Fairbanks. And so that's what we called our nonprofit organization that we submitted the paperwork with the IRS to get nonprofit 501c3 nonprofit status. So basically I'm on it's a board. It's a nonprofit board that I'm still serving on. But what we do is we stream EWTN Catholic radio into Fairbanks. It's 92.7 FM, if you're ever in Fairbanks. And so, yeah, I serve on that board, and I also serve on the Morningstar Ranch board. I have a handicapped son, and he's been receiving services through Morningstar Ranch, rehabilitation, respite, supported living, since 2009. And I'd like to maybe someday get off that board, but it's hard to find people who are willing to volunteer their time.
Well, you're through the
two boards I serve on.
I really appreciate your volunteer service as much as I do your career, and I just want to thank you for that also.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Any further questions or comments? I'm going to go ahead and open it up to public testimony. Public testimony is open for Robin Barrett's confirmation to the Military Appeals Commission. I don't see anybody in the room. I don't have anybody online, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Any further questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much, Lieutenant Colonel Barrett, for your dedication to the public, for your service, as well as your desire to want to serve on this commission. We're now going to go on to Scott Orvick. Thank you, Scott, for being on the Teams meeting with us. And the floor is yours if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Chair and representatives. I'm Scott Orvick, speaking to you from Fairbanks. Thank you for your consideration of my service on the Alaska Military Appeals Commission. I've been licensed to practice law in Alaska since 2001. I also went through ROTC as well, and I live and work here with my family, where I serve as a United States Magistrate Judge with the federal court. I served on active duty in the Army JAG Corps as an Army prosecutor at trial counsel, as you heard the folks describe, and defense counsel, senior defense counsel, and I left active duty in 2008. I continued service in the U.S. Army Reserve as a JAG. And in the Army Reserve, I served as a military trial judge for 3 years, and I was recently selected to serve again in that capacity. I would appreciate the opportunity to offer my experience and service to the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Representative
Orvick?
Orvick,
sir.
Orvick, I apologize.
Real quick, I'd like to interrupt just for a moment. Mr. Orvick, turn down your mic just a little bit. Just feeding back through.
Okay, sir, is that better?
Yeah, let me see. Yes, it is. Thank you very much. Representative Klinger.
Sure. In your work as a magistrate judge, you're much more in the trial court role, and this is an appellate role. How do you see those different? How do you see that difference in what would be your position on this commission?
Representative Klayman, through Representative Tuck, you are correct. I guess I have some experience with, first of all, reading cold records in some of the habeas work that I do as a federal magistrate, where we review sometimes state court actions. We also, of course, review the federal cases under 2254 and 2255. So that I see that part, but then also I think that my experience as a military trial judge, having presided over special and general courts martial, would actually be very useful as you're sitting there reading some of the cold records of trial going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right, Mr. Ravick, we're going to go ahead and open up to public testimony. I apologize for pronouncing your name wrong in the beginning. Public testimony is open. Seeing nobody in the room nor online, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Any other further comments or questions? Representative Shaw.
I'd like to make just a small comment, and having the opportunity to serve alongside an accomplished ROTC graduate, I do appreciate that, but we talk about the qualifications of three ROTC graduates, and these three truly above and beyond. If we could get resumes like this for all of our boards and commissions, I think it'd be overwhelming. So I'm honored to see these three put their names forward, and look forward to their being on the board.
Thank you very much for your comments, Representative Shaw. I totally agree. Representative Story.
Yes, I just wanted to ask the question that if you were on the Appeals Commission and saw individual cases coming through that were having to do with sexual assault, harassment, some along those lines, and saw a pattern of that coming forward, would you feel that you needed to speak up about that?
So, Representative Shaw through Representative Tuck, I understand, but also I have the hesitation of wanting to ensure that the comments where I would certainly feel the need to, I would feel the desire to, yet I would want to ensure that it complied with the judicial canons of this particular position, and just to ensure that the comments made, if they were made to the appropriate level of the Alaska National Guard, in no way compromised in particular a case resolve, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you. And any further comments, questions, Representative Klayman?
Not a question, just a comment. I just want to compliment the governor. It's actually we created, when we passed the state code of military justice in 2016, we created this commission, and that was 5 years later, or 4 years later, that any governor actually finally started making appointments to this commission. And it's both a reflection that sometimes, no matter who's the governor, there's a lot of work to be done, and they may not always get to every piece of it. It's somewhat reassuring that what's been going on in the National Guard hasn't led to lots of court martials, and probably even fewer or other proceedings, not necessarily court martials, but even fewer proceedings that went up on appeal, because if there were a lot of cases coming up on appeal, the governor probably would have said, oh, we better appoint somebody to serve on that, because right now there's nobody there to hear the appeal. And so the fact that we're finally getting these appointees is a reflection that very important role to serve, but their actual caseload is likely to be fairly limited, because it's only going to be appeals of trial court decisions that they even begin to hear. But I'm really glad, because I know Representative Tuck, you were very involved in the Code of Military Justice that we did back when the late Max Grunberg was serving in the legislature, and glad to see this commission finally getting filled, and I think these are outstanding nominees for that position, for those positions.
Yes. Thank you very much, Representative Klayman. Thank you for recognizing the importance of this commission. I'm glad to see this off the ground as well. I don't see any more comments, so that completes our review of the governor's appointees to the Military Appeals Commission. What is the will of the committee? Representative Park.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the Military Appeals Commission and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: John Farr, Robin Barrett, and Scott Oravac. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you very much, Representative Tarr. The names will be forwarded on to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. After we adjourn, please stick around so that we can put our signatures on the movement of these three wonderful candidates. Our next meeting of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee is going to be scheduled for Tuesday, March 16th at 1 p.m. At that meeting, we will consider Representative Nelson's House Bill 125. If there's no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 1:59.